Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of our message today is on section from John chapter 3 that we just looked at a few moments ago. As we look at this section, we see how the three members of the Trinity are there and working together. We also focus today on another statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Holy Trinity Sunday is that great day of teaching within the church as we look at this doctrine. And as we do, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Back in 1992, there was a religious weight loss program called Way Down. And in fact, it is still in existence today. It was created by Gwen Shamblin. And she grew the business out of her garage over a period of years into a multi-million dollar Nashville corporation. She was in over 30,000 churches that had organized and participated in this weight loss program. But after a number of years, she got herself into some trouble. The whole movement was threatened and her business placed in jeopardy because she made a few comments about her beliefs in the Trinity. Here's what she said. As a ministry, we believe in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. However, the Bible does not use the word Trinity, and our feeling is that the word Trinity implies equality in leadership or shared lordship. It is clear that the scriptures teach that Jesus is the Son of God and that God sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not send God anywhere. God is clearly the head. Now, her comments sent shockwaves throughout her community of followers and her business partners. In fact, a lot of things happened. She was removed from the Women of Faith website. Influential evangelical churches dropped her program. A number of key employees left the business. And her publisher, she had a book that was about to come out, her publisher dropped the book. All of this, not because of her approach to weight loss, but because she trifled with the Trinity. Now, if you're confused as to why your words got her so much trouble, that's understandable. The church has always struggled to explain how God can be three persons, yet one God. Three distinct members of the Trinity, yet always represented as one infinite equal God. Where Ms. Shamblin went wrong was in her statement that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit weren't equal in leadership. Now, in interviews, she agreed that Jesus was both Lord and God, but that Jesus held a secondary, unequal relationship with the Father. Now, if you're still confused, let me ask you this. What is the conclusion of such a statement? I mean, you might be tempted to even say, well, that's not such a big deal. But it's this. If Jesus is not fully God, it denies what the Bible says about him. Jesus, in his very nature, the Bible declares, is both fully God and fully man. Not some sort of sub-God or secondary God. There are three gods. There is one God, and God the Son is fully God. Now, Ms. Shamblin went on to argue her point by saying that Christians grieve Jesus if they adhere to teachings that aren't found in Scripture. She said, if God wanted us to refer to himself, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as the Trinity, he would not have left this word completely out of the Bible. Now, there's sort of an obvious argument here that no English words are in the Bible. That might be a little bit obvious. But let's take it a little bit further. That whole idea of the Trinity, three persons, one God, while the word Trinity is not there, the concept surely is. In fact, the word Trinity and triune are the words that we as people came up to try and communicate, to try to simply wrap our heads around something that is so beyond us that only God can fully understand it. Those words, Trinity and triune, both mean three in one. Just look at our text for today. All three persons of the Trinity are mentioned, not only individually, but collectively. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Irrationally, the doctrine of the Trinity, it's a difficult subject. It's difficult because we can't reason it out. We can't rationalize it away. We can't parse it out. We can't add up the numbers. Mathematically, it just doesn't work. Three does not equal one. And yet that's exactly how the Bible presents it. Imagine the comfort of knowing that we have a God who is so beyond our comprehension. He is so powerful that he's not like you and me. It's a good thing, isn't it? That God is so beyond us, that God is so powerful that we can't figure him out. That the depths of his knowledge and power is so deep that we can't reach down to the bottom. That his wisdom is so high that we can't reach up to the top. Now, the mystery of the Trinity may be beyond us, but finally, what's most important to us on a day like today, as we talk about the Trinity, is not trying to figure it out or acknowledging that we can't, but to find in the doctrine, the teaching of the Trinity, the comfort of the Trinity. Yes, the Trinity is not meant to be understood, but it is meant to be enjoyed. We recognize it. We all have difficulty in neatly dividing it up, but Scripture does reveal to us who God is, and that the Godhead has three distinct persons, and each person has responsibilities attributed to each member. This information brings, of course, a great deal of comfort. Today, just a few moments ago, we confessed our faith in, I sort of jokingly refer to it as the Dr. Seuss Creed. Did you feel a little bit like that with the Athanasian Creed? There was a little bit of Dr. Seuss that was going on there. But understand that behind that creed are people who gave their lives holding to the fact that Jesus is true God and equal to the Father. And so those words were written to make clear, to unify the Christian faith, that this is what the Bible says about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Obviously, they had to be very clear. And they took more time to parse it all out, to make sure that everything lined up and was about as clear as you could possibly be, considering the subject matter. But of course, we don't use the Athanasian Creed too often, just about once a year on this Holy Trinity Sunday. But in order to kind of plumb the depths of the comfort of the Trinity, I invite you to join me in more familiar words of the Apostles' Creed. And we start with what we know as the first article, I believe in God the Father. And as soon as it clicks up here. Here we go. Let's say it together. Hi, actually, before we start. Everybody start to go. What follows is the explanation to the Apostles' Creed from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. These words are meant to explain what is behind each of these statements of faith. Let's join. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that God made me and every creature, and that he gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind, and all my abilities. It can be a little bit of a scary thought, huh? Meeting your maker. Now, if you and I were exactly how God had made us, then it probably wouldn't be such a big deal. God made us perfect, created us in perfection, then we could stand before God and not have a problem. Well, the problem is that we don't look like that, or we aren't that way anymore. It's quite a different matter to stand before our Maker knowing that we aren't how He created us, that we present ourselves to Him broken and dirty and dressed in rags. God created us perfect, pure, holy, without flaw or defect, and then we show our thanks to Him by ruining all of that, rolling around in the dirt of sin, dressed in shirts of gossip and pants of laziness and hats of lust and shoes of greed, not to mention the jewelry we wear of anger and apathy and impatience and disrespect. I think your Maker is happy to have you step into His presence with your appearance. I know He wouldn't be if I stepped into His presence. But for some unfathomable reason, join me once again. He still preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, cattle, and all I own, and all that I need to keep my body and life, and my defending me against all danger, and guarding and protecting me from all evil. All evil, God protecting us from that evil that would pull us away from Him forever, that would condemn us forever. And meeting that need is the work of God the Son. That's why I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death. All this He did, that I should be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He has risen from the dead, and lives and rules eternally. We call this work of God the Son redemption. To redeem means to buy back, to set free. Christ has bought us back from the damning consequences of sin. In that most amazing way, 2,000 years ago, God broke into time and space and became one of us. God the Son, taking on our very flesh and blood and rendering what God asked of us, but what we couldn't give back, perfection. Jesus lived that perfect life and then offered Himself up as the perfect sacrifice, taking upon Himself the punishment that our sins deserve, that death on the cross. 3 days later, He rose again and proclaimed to the world that that mission of redeeming you and me, it was complete. It was done. There was nothing left to do, and because Jesus lives, we too shall live eternally in heaven. He's removed our guilt, the very thing that made us dirty and look the way we are, and the very thing that kept us from being able to confidently step into God's presence. He tore down that wall of sin that separated us from the Father, and He welcomed us into God's presence. There, He has for us a get-into-heaven-free pass that is all yours and mine. And here's how He gets it to us. The Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come unto Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead, and He will give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This work of the Spirit we call sanctification. And in the very widest sense, it's exactly what I described, that God has made through His Son available this get into heaven free card, and through the Spirit, he gives it to us and puts it into our grasp. And through his continued work, through word and sacrament, he makes sure that we cling to that past all the days of our lives, so that when he does finally call us out of this world of sin and tears, we can stand before him confidently with that get into heaven free pass, knowing that he lets us in because of what Jesus has done for us, the Spirit, keeping us close to him so that we never lose that pass. Take away just one member of the Trinity, and all of that fails. God, not the Father, not protecting us from evil. God the Son, not redeeming us from evil. God the Holy Spirit, not keeping us strong against evil. And that path to get into heaven is gone. But with Father, Son, and Spirit working together, the three persons of the Trinity working together, one God, we have the sure and certain comfort that heaven is ours, and that can never be taken away. Think of them working together like a stream. You know, a stream, it flows, but, you know, where does the water come from? You know, all those drops and trickles and sources from below, you don't really see it happening. It just, all of a sudden, there's water coming together, and it forms into this stream. And then there are tributaries that start to spread that water out into the land where it makes plants blossom and grow. That's the work of the Trinity. That unseen source that provides everything that we need for body and soul. And that visible work of the Son as he gives his life for yours and mine. And then the Holy Spirit carrying that water right to your heart, where it nourishes and grows you being grafted to the vine. Those branches that produce fruit until God calls you home. This is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our salvation. Amen. Please.